Coach, we appreciate your time. I know how tight that can get, and you don't have any of it to waste. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Coach. I appreciate you.
Well, listen, there's an awful lot going on, as we all know, in the National Football League. No one is more aware of some of the controversy than I am. And I think, based on what I've heard and certainly the relationship that this very good friend of mine, Jim Hassett, who played for me at Buffalo and coached for me too, but Jim's relationship with you, and so I wanted to have a chance for you to maybe explain something that's going on in the National Football League or has gone on that you feel is certainly detrimental to the way that we do business on a day-to-day basis with our sports teams, be it football, baseball, basketball, whatever it is. So, with that, I know we're all looking at Brian Flores right now and what's happened there. And I know he's up for a couple of jobs, but we just don't know how it's going to go from here. There seems to be, and I'll stop and let you talk after this, but there seems to be, to me, very little coverage on this, either from you or Brian Flores, by the media. Normally, you would think the media would jump all over this. I have not seen much at all. So with that, I'm going to let you give us your take on what's going on.
Well, I'm going to really take it from the HBCU perspective, because what I have to do, having come here to Grambling, is, my experience here, the coaches that I have here, the coaches that I've worked with over the years, I just think it's my duty to do a better job than what I ever have of paving the way for men of color to have an opportunity to realize their goals and aspirations. I've had a chance to do it twice at Oakland and Cleveland, very different opportunities. But what's happening in the league today, I think it's so unfair. Just watching the minority coaches not get a chance to lead programs. And my job is to do everything I can to try to make it better, to point out some of the issues that I think we're all dealing with when it comes to systemic racism, when it comes to hiring practices, when it comes to opportunities. I'm concerned about what happens in the future. And I'm not going to stop because people want me to stop from what I know that goes on and what has gone on. And so at the end of the day, you have to have enough people talking about it. Just as you said, things pop up for a moment and then they die. I think we can take a pretty good guess why, because people don't want these things out there. It's hard to digest because football is one of the greatest games there is. But that don't mean that everybody do things right by any stretch of imagination. I think people have to understand that just because you get hired by an organization, that doesn't mean that everybody wants to win. And that doesn't mean that everybody wants to win your way. Some people want to win their way. And it might be totally different than what you want. And so I think our coaches, as they come in, they got to understand. I mean, you got to understand everything. You got to understand what's in your contract. You got to understand what the objectives are. And you would think those people get those things out front. Well, that's not always true. Those things change. And so you better make sure you know what they are.
You've had quite an experience. I know out there, it's been something you've been, I'm sure, thinking about from every aspect. All these analysts that they're talking about now, it's just amazing to me how much confidence and they're putting everything in. Whether you go for first down, whether you go for two, go for one, fourth down, it's amazing. It's and then also even the big picture as sure as you've been talking about, I'm sure, as I understand it, the analysts maybe had something to do with the team ownership deciding on which way they should go.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you know, it's changed. The game has changed, and I respect that. But the coaches are still the coaches, you know, and I think the coaches work real hard at becoming good at what they do. Normally they get hired because they have a skill, whether it's I've never seen a coach get hired that doesn't have skill, rather especially become a head coach or coordinator, because they're good at doing something. And I think you can't replace men with numbers, because I think coaches have their own algorithm, and they have done it over time, and they've done it in real time. I think numbers are just that. I think numbers help, you know, but numbers sometimes just don't tell the truth. So you can get caught up in that and believe that that's the best way, the better way, because maybe people think numbers don't have fault, but they do. Because if you put one number in wrong, everything's wrong. So I don't subscribe to that. I think analytics is a tool to help, but I don't think it can be the lead. I don't think it's something that you want to count on, because these men, these coaches who come up, they've grown up in the game. They know the game. You got to have a feel. You got to have instincts. All those things go into coaching, as you very well know better than anybody. So I just think the game has changed. I think if you look across the scope of the league, I think football's changing. You know, when you look at how the general managers are being hired, they're just, it's different. It's a different time. And I think everybody's got to start to understand that.
I could agree with you more. And talk about analytics. You know, a good example is going back a number of years when I was with Chuck Knox. And Chuck, one of the great guys, one of the great coaches in the league. But he was known affectionately, you know, his nickname was Ground Chuck, because he, you know, all he wanted to do was run the football. But we would get into meetings, and he would go over and over and over. And he had these, at the end of the season, he had these computer experts to come in and go through all these computer numbers, go through all these numbers as to runs, passes, opponent, different categories of opponents, and so on. And but his contention was that if you run the football 40 times in a ball game, you won. You were going to win. And so I used my argument with him, and finally, after a while, you know, talking about being a balanced type offense, and he and I would go back and forth on this quite a bit. I said, Chuck, if we're going to win by running the ball 40 times, why on earth would we not just line up and run the ball the first 40 snaps we have? Let's don't throw it. Let's don't scream. Let's don't do anything but run the football the first 40 times we have it. And obviously the answer, as you well know, is to have a balance. And a lot of those 40 runs came because you were winning a football game and you were running the clock out in the fourth quarter. So you kept the ball on the ground and ran the clock out short in the game. So not that you don't want to have because you do want to have a balanced offense, and I think that's the
right name
of the game. But that's just another example of how analytics can lead you down the wrong path if you're not careful.
Right. I just, like I said, I think there's a place for it, but you just said something key. If you're not careful, and I think when you rely on it, it just doesn't always give you the right answer. So, but I just, I have a heart for the men who have, you know, really put their lives, you know, out front when it comes to the football and how important it is, you know, their careers and everything. And I just think, there's some tremendous coaches of all colors in the league, but we're mainly talking about the minority men because I think they deserve opportunities. And somehow, some way, we got to figure out for there to be more men getting these opportunities as we move forward.
I agree. Two quick questions here for you, and I won't keep you. I know you're busy. But one, how do you feel this picture's going to turn out now? This is a very serious contention out there about the outcome of football games. How do you think it's going to turn out in the end? Where does it go? And what do you think might be the final result here?
Well, where it goes is, I think, as far as who dives into it to see what was happening. You know, I think that's the most important part. I think anything and everything should be investigated thoroughly, to see if these things actually occurred. And if they did, then I think people should be punished. If they didn't, then, that'll be found out and there'll be a report. People say, hey, this is what we found. But I think hopefully it's opening people's eyes that there are different ways that people make decisions about what they're going to do within their organizations. I mean, I think we all know the revenue sharing that happens in the league, which leads to people feeling like they can do things differently if they want to. But until we really have a deep dive into the things that have happened, will anybody ever understand what's going on?
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think everybody should have a say. You've got something that's important, and the league should look into it in every way. Two more things here real quick. Super Bowl, who do you like in the upcoming Super Bowl this weekend?
Wow, you had to put that one on me, Coach Gay. I tell you, this is going to be a tremendous football game. The young quarterback in Cincinnati is outstanding. He is a winner. He knows how to play the game, plays it at a high level, has a tremendous cast around him, especially a receiver, great runner. The offensive line, I think the offensive line coach has done an outstanding job of making sure that he keeps him upright as much as he can. But then you got the Rams, who are at home. They're in their comfort. Stafford's playing well. The defense looks like they're starting to gear up and play better. They got two of the best rushers. When you think of Darnold, you think of Von Miller, you think of a veteran Weddle back there on defense, and they're at home. But it's hard for me to pick against my Bengals. The Bengals have been very good to me. So I'm going to go with the Bengals. I'm going to put it out there. I'm very fond of Andrew Whitworth, who plays for the Rams, but I hope the Bengals can pull this one off.
Very interesting, because I'm with you on this. I really think Los Angeles has more depth of talent, both offensively and defensively, but there's something going on with the Cincinnati team. If they can keep him upright, like you say, if that offensive line can and give their running back a chance to at least keep him honest up there, they got a chance to win it.
Yes, sir.
Let me, I was very, very interested, too. When you were in Oakland, you did a heck of a job out there at Oakland.
Thank you,
my friend, and you really did. And I was surprised I was totally surprised when you left Oakland. I really felt like that organization, you had turned the corner. What was the deal? Then Al was still alive, right?
Yeah, Al was, Al had died the year after, the year I became the head coach. So yeah, I thought we were making strides, and it was very, very tough to lose him.
Yeah, that's right. He was there when you were hired, and then actually died while you were there on the job. And you had to turn it around. Well, I wanted to say that to you because I think you did an outstanding job. Thought about it then, and of course never had a chance to tell you. But one other quick, how are you doing with your recruiting at Grammy?
Oh, it's been great. We signed 37 players, some really, really talented young men. Very excited about the opportunity here. obviously one of the most storied programs in all of HBCU football. Anytime you get a chance to be one of the leaders where Eddie Robinson was the head coach is awesome. But we did. We signed kids from everywhere. I think they're excited about being here. We're excited about coaching them. Got a really good staff. And just looking forward to getting the spring practice. We're in off-season workouts right now, and guys are working hard. And, boy, we can't wait to get on the grass with them and really coach some football.
Well, it's the best of luck, very best of luck to you out there. I know you're doing a great job. It is a tremendous – got a great tradition there at Grambling, and I know you'll certainly carry that on. Coach, be good and have a great year.
And thank you so much. Appreciate you.